Today's daf is Psachim daf Samach Tes. Psachim Samach Tes, as we get into the, continue getting into the sugya that we had on Samach Chesem Beis, we had the Machlokas, Rabbi Elezer, and Rabbi Yeshua about Chatzi Lashem and Chatzi Lachem, or Kulo Lashem and Kulo Lachem. That we got into, if you remember, based on the Machlokas that we had in the Mishnah, where there was a Machlokas, whether one is allowed to violate an Issur Durabanan, whether one could bring a Raya from Yantif, that we could violate Isurei Daraisa, in quotes, violate, for the mitzvah of Simchas Yantif, or is that not a good raya? Is that a mitzvah or is that not a mitzvah? So the Gemara suggested that according to Rabbi Yeshua, it's a mitzvah. Or Rabbi Yeshua, you have to have some gashmi enjoyment on Shabbos, at least half. Chatzi Lashem v'chatzi Lachem. Versus Rabbi Eliezer, who says, no, you have a choice. Okul Lashem, okul Lachem. The Rambam in his formulation, we mentioned yesterday, we pass him like Rabbi Yeshua. And the Rambam quotes Rabbi Yeshua, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes Rabbi Yeshua. The Rambam has a specific formula exactly how we're supposed to spend our Yontif day. That we are supposed to go to Shul, and then come home to eat, and then go back to Shul, and then go to the Shir, and then do this, and then do that. All different types of activities that the Rambam mentions. And it sounds very particular and very exacting in what is supposed to be done. Rubada of the Achronim, the Sfasemis writes in Meseches Beitza that we don't have to be so medactic. We have to be so Chatzi Lashem and Chatzi Lachem. It just means to enjoy yourself and to be involved in Torah too. It just means that we're supposed to split up the day in terms of what we are involved in. It doesn't mean exactly that we have to count the minutes. Oh, I put in my certain amount of hours for this, and now I have to put in my certain hours for the other one. Oh, I've been learning all day, so I better sleep. I better eat more, because I have to be exact. So it just means that we're supposed to have a little of both. Good. And the last point that we had made, and that is the Mar Brei D'Ravina story, where the Gemara said that he fasted every day of the year. Obviously, he ate at night, except for 3 days. 3 days of the year, he ate, and that is one on Shavuos, one on Purim, and one on Erev Yom Kippur. The first two we discussed, Purim and Shavuos, are two of the three exceptions that are listed. By She'en Kain, the third one was a new one. The third one was Erev Yom Kippur. That we had a shir on a couple of years ago. I think we might have even had a daf be'in shir relating to the idea of eating on Erev Yom Kippur. The two major ideas in the Rishonim regarding explaining the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur is either Rashi in Meseches Yuma, the Rosh in Meseches Yuma, give the pashup shot, and that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that he gives us a mitzvah to fast. It's the only mitzvah d'oraisa to fast the entire year. The only day of the year that we have to fast Daraisa. All the other ones are our fault, right? All the mitzvos derabanan to fast, even including Tisha B'Av. But Yom Kippur is the day that we have to fast Daraisa. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows that, so Mechazdo Yisbarach, he gives us a mitzvah to eat the day before. Right, that's basically a hachana type of idea. Rashi's Lashon in Meseches Yuma is Adaf Pei Aleph V'Hachimash Mekra. Klomar, haskein atzmecha betisha shetuchal lehisanos basara. Prepare yourself on the ninth day so that you can be ready to fast on the tenth day. Prepare yourself. And the Rosh also, hachinu atzmechem betisha lachodesh lehischazek ba'achila ubishasiya kedei shetuchlu lehisanos lamachar. So you can fast the next day. That's a simple interpretation of the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to eat so that you're ready, which would have nafkaminas. Let's say somebody is a chole and they're not going to fast anyway. Do they have a mitzvah to eat? Let's say somebody is a great faster and they'll be able to fast even if they fast for 2 days in a row. So there are nafkaminas in terms of how you look at this. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, there's a very different idea. Rabbeinu Yonah writes in Shari Tshuva that really Yom Kippur is a Yontif. And there's Simchas Yontif. There's Simchas Yontif even on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is not a sad day. It's a serious day. But there's Simchas Yontif. Where's Sudas Yontif? Yom Kippur, we can't have a Suda because it's Yom Kippur. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, that's why we have a mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur. That's the Seudas Yontif of Yom Kippur. And the Chiddush is that you can have the Seudas Yontif before Yontif starts. But usually you can't have that. But, says Rabbeinu Yonah, in Shari Tshuva, Ki Bishar Yamim Tovim, this is in Shar Dalid Os Tes, Ki Bishar Yamim Tovim, Anachru Kovim Suda, L'Simchas HaMitzvah. ki yigdal v'yishkem otzchar mitzvah chal mitzvahs. But here nischayavna l'kvo asuda al simchas mitzvah be'erev Yom Kippurim, because that's the best that we could do. We can't do better than that because it's Yom Kippur and you can't eat on Yom Kippur. Two very different ideas regarding the mitzvah that's mentioned in our Gemara of eating on erev Yom Kippur. Just the third idea to mention is that that's suggested. Just before we get to that, a big nafkamina between the reasons might be women. Do women have the mitzvah of eating on erev Yom Kippur? As if you say it's a din of su'udas yatif, then it could be that women are pteros. Because it's a zman grama, there's no specific limud including them, and therefore women are pteros. Basha'enkin, hachana, they have to fast. So if they have to fast, then they have to eat too. Do you have to have lechem mishnah? Do the regular dinim of chiv su'udah? Do you have to have bread? Or at least bread, not lechem mishnah. Do you have to have bread at the meal? If it's a din of su'udah, maybe you do need bread. If it's a din of achana, then maybe just anything that would satiate you. Different ideas that are mentioned by the achronim. But a third idea, besides the hachana idea of Rashi and the Rosh, besides the su'udah idea of Rabbeinu Yonah, is mentioned both by Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky and by Rav Soloveitchik, each in their own words. And that is, by eating on Erev Yom Kippur and by fasting on Yom Kippur, that contrast creates what Rav Soloveitchik calls a shvisa nikeres, a recognizable act. If I don't eat so much on Erev Yom Kippur, it's not so recognizable to the outsider what I'm doing on Yom Kippur. Eating on Erev Yom Kippur is a kiyum of creating a foil, of creating a contrast to fasting on Yom Kippur. And in that way, it highlights more what I'm doing on Yom Kippur. So that's the two days really, really work together. That's what the Lashon of Soloveitchik is. He compares it to the Rambam's Lashon in Hilchas Shabbos, where the Rambam quotes three different ideas behind the Dinin Drabanan of Muksa. One of them is what he calls Shvisa Nikeres. If somebody lives in a society pre-electricity, and he's a Yoshev Ubatel, and he doesn't have a job, he doesn't do work, it's not so clear that it's Shabbos, because he's not involved in Malacha anyway. So that's why we have the Halachas of Muksa, to create a Shvisa Nikeres. And Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky in the Emes Liyakov in Parshas Emor says a similar idea. Tzorach lecho b'yomachi, kodim sof hayom v'chulu, d'hame im eze tam shehu lo haya ochel, k'sheyeret hayom im kein lo nikar ha'inui. Right, so it's similar ideas. Three ideas regarding the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur, but that's the Gemara that comes up right here. Right, it comes up in a couple of places in Shas. You have it here. You have it in Yuma. You have it in Rosh Hashanah. Okay, we will continue now. Says the Gemara, Rav Yosef says about 10 lines up from the bottom on Samach Ches Amid Beis. Rav Yosef B'yom Adatzarta was still talking about a little bit of Su'udas Yantiv B'yom Adatzarta on Shavuos. What did he do? Amar Ivdili Igla Tilta. On Shavuos, Rav Yosef used to say, please make for me an Egel Tilta. What does an Egel Tilta mean? So Rashi, all over Shas, has all different suggestions. Rashi here, or the Rishonim also, Rashi here says, it's the third offspring of the mother calf. And that was the most scrumptious and delicious. He basically was saying, make me a great, great feast. Elsewhere, it means that maybe it was medium rare. Right, it was burned and created, and it was prepared a third of the way. Well, different pshat than what igla tilta means. You see Rashi here, and then it says on the side, Ayin Rashi in Erevin, Rashi in Sanhedrin, Sarachim, look at Rashi in Kitten. Whatever the pshat is, make me a fancy dish. Amar Y, said Rav Yosef, Eloha Yoma Dikagarim, Kama Yosef Ikabashuka. Were it not for Shavuos, I'd just be literally another Joe in the street. Right, Kama Yosef Ikabashuka. Whether it were not for Shavuos, meaning he's giving a praise for the Torah. Right, we just were talking about the Atav Suda on Shavuos. He says, were it not for Shavuos, then Kama Yosef Ikabashuka. I ask all the Achronim, this is Rav Yosef talking. He doesn't sound so humble. Rav Yosef, we know, was one of the most humble. What does the Gemara say at the end of Masechah Sota? The last two lines of Masechah Sota. The Gemara says, when one of the Tanaim died, Batla Anava. And Rav Yosef says, no, Anava's still here. Dika Ana. I'm still here, so there's still Anava. So we mentioned many times, what does that mean? The Vilna Gaon says there's a Tana named Ana, right? So that's what he says, Dika Ana. And we've said on a deeper level that maybe Rav Yosef is saying that if you want to learn humility, look at my life. Because I lost my eyesight, and I lost a lot of my learning. Look at my life, and you'll realize what humility is all about. You don't know what tomorrow is going to be. Di'ika Ana. But the question is, what does it mean here? Rav Yosef, look at me. Thank God for Shavuos. So explain some of the Bali Musar. So the Biuri Chasidus, Lashas. It's been a while. says to be in the Beir Chasidus, they quote that from the Kedushas Levi, says that no, the point is that Rav Yosef is saying, don't give me any credit for myself. It's not me. The special segula of the day of Shavuos, that's what's causing this. That's what's giving me any kochos that I have. So he's really not taking any credit. If I got it, so fine. He says, but no, MS, ki ani in any ayin ve'efes, lo yisi yochol agil l'madregasi, lule kedushas hayom hazeh. He says, no, I'm so happy on Shavuos because I realize all my koach is coming from the special siyata d'shmaya that this day gives me. That's the kedushas levi yomi that we have today. One final thought, and that is said by many of the Bali Musar. Beautiful thought. There, Rav Yosef is saying that, oh, we're not for Shavuos, kama Yosef Kabashuka, focus on the kama. We're not for the Torah that unifies all the aspects of my life. Kama Yosef Ikabashuka. I would be different personalities depending on where I am. I'd be one Yosef in the Beis Medrash, and one Yosef at work, and one Yosef in the store, because we're all different people. Right? We wear different hats. But says of Yosef, because of the Torah, we're able to be the same person and consistent wherever we are. We're an Eved Hashem. We're an Eved Hashem here. We're an Eved Hashem there. Right? We are at what Rav Huttner calls in his well-known letter, we're not living a double life, we're living a broad life. Right, we're living a life that encompasses, we're in Eved Hashem, wherever we are, and we're one person. And Tocho Kabaro, that's the godless of this line of Rav Yosef, we're not for the Torah that tells me how to live and how to behave in every situation, wherever I am in life, Kama Yosef. Look how many Yosefs there'd be. I'd be different people. Right, that's the godless of the Torah. We are all unified in all the way, areas, and all the hats that we wear in our lives. Okay, here we go. Says the Gemara of Sheshes, called Tlasin Yomin, Mehedulei Talmudei, every 30 days, he used to chazer his learning. Every 30 days. When did we have something like this before in the Masechta? Not exactly this line. Remember we had earlier, Ashrei mi shebala kan v'talmudo b'yado. Plays is the one that comes here v'talmudo b'yado. So that was the line that was used in Gemara Bava Basra also, relating to, the Gemara Ksubis uses that line. But that's also a Ksubas Ayin Zayin, where it talks about one of the Amoraim, they used to chazer everything every 30 days also. But, and the Baal Chamava said, you know, it's time. And he said, give me 30 days. So he chazered all of his Torah, and the Gemara says, ah, praise me, Asher Misha Balakan v'Talmud Abiyado. Right, that's the, we spoke about that earlier on Daf Nun. So anyway, that's what we had a similar line. So he chazered his learning every 30 days. V'tali, what did he do? Rav Sheshes, v'tali v'koi b'ivra d'dasha. Rav Sheshes used to go and stand at the doorway. Stand at a doorway. V'amar, and used to say, chadi nafshoi, my soul is so happy. I am so happy to be a Ben Torah. L'cha k'roi, l'cha tanoi. To you, he's like talking to the learning. Ah, mikra, ah, mishnah. It's amazing. Fine. Why did he go to the doorway? What, he was just publicizing it? That's why he went to the doorway? Why did he say they could have given a shiur? Oh, learning is awesome. Why the doorway? Explains the Ben Yoyada. Beautiful. I'm going to use this Bezashem on Shabbat Shuvah too. Right, says the Ben Yoyada. Shatam. Why did he go to the doorway? Because if you think about it, a door is something very heavy. If you have a door. But if you stick on two hinges and you connect it to the wall, then even a little child could push open and close the door. It's a heavy door. How can he do that? It's a big, heavy door. Ah, but you connect it with the two hinges, and all of a sudden it becomes light. All of a sudden it becomes easy. Right? So he says, we think a life of Torah, we think a life of, sometimes it's heavy, sometimes it's difficult, sometimes learning all this, learning Daf Yomi, it's hard. He says, just put your brain and put your heart to it. Put the two hinges, the two connectors. He says, once you do that, you have the brain and the heart, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make it easy. Just take the first step, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us Hadelas Tisov Al Tzira. Right? What does it say in Mishlei? V'ha Atzel Oded Al Mitaso. Right? The mashal given by Shlomo HaMelech is that the door swings, and the Atzel is still in his bed. Why? He sees the door. It's so easy, Atzel. Right? Lazy one. But he just learned the message of the door. Ki Imu Roeh Es HaTorah Masa Kaved Kolz Ebeshval Chisaron Atzirim Sheim Ratzon HaMoach V'Halev. So he says, Bud, says that's why he went to the door. Rav Sheshes went to the door because, you know, you see me, you see the door. And in that way, you can get the message of its being easy. It's another thought here, but we'll wait for now. That's Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes. Rav Yosef, Rav Sheshes. Interesting, the Gemara is bringing all, just parenthetically, the Gemara is bringing all of these stories from people who were Sagi Nahar. Rav Sheshes and Rav Yosef were both. So Dafka, these people who were not able to see, and they were still celebrating by the Torah that they were involved in. So let's continue. So Rav Sheshes was celebrating that he was so happy. Says the Gemara, Eini, is this really true? Is what really true? Is it really true? Rashi says, V'chi ein hana'a b'talmud Torah, ela lolom deha levadam. The Talmud Torah only gives hana'a to those who learn it. Like Rav Sheshes was saying, ah, oh, great is me. Chadoi nafshoi. What do I mean? Torah keeps the world going. V'yamar Rabbi Lazar, ilmali Torah, lo niskayim u'shamayim v'aretz. The whole world would cease to exist without Torah. Shne'amar, im lo brisi yomam v'layla, chukos shamayim v'aretz lo samti. Like the Gemara says elsewhere, that the whole Torah, the whole world, was in a state of uncertainty until B'nai Yisrael were makabel the Torah. So you see, the Torah doesn't only affect the lom de Torah, like Rav Sheshes gave off, but it affects the whole world. Says the Gemara, no, you're right. Me'ikara ki avid inish adaita denafshe ka'avid. But when a person starts, when Rav Sheshes is trying to inspire, people are going to start learning to keep the world going. Right? It starts adaita denafshe ka'avid. That's when it starts. And then afterwards, it gets spread to be one of the pillars of the world. I think we mentioned in the past the thought of the Maharal in the first parak of Pirkei Avos. Torah is one of the pillars of the world, one of the big three pillars. The Maharal there discusses why is it that we have the big three Averis. We had earlier, right, back in the second parak, right, this, the Gemara in Pesachim and Sanhedrin, two places in Shas where it talks about what the big three, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shvichas Damim. The big three Averis, Yahreh Valyavar. Why Dafka those three? Why aren't there more? Shabbos. Why isn't Shabbos one of the big three? Right, so explains the Maharal, because the big three are Keneged, Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim. And those three are the pillars of the world, and therefore it makes sense that I can't violate one of these Averis, because then I'm undermining one of the pillars of the world. And explains the Maharal, Avodah is Avodah Zarah, that one's pretty clear. Shvichas Damim is Gemilas Chasadim, opposites. So those two are clear if I violate those two. But the other one, Gili Arayis and Torah. Like the Argamara here, Torah is one of the pillars of the world. How does that fit? Explains the Maharal, Torah is the most sublime activity, the most uplifted activity that we could be involved in this universe, and Gilui Arayos is the most animalistic, the most mundane, the most physical activity that one could be involved in. That's why they're opposites. That's how they fit, but that's this Gemara as well. Torah is one of the pillars of the world, not only for Lom de Torah, but for the entire world. Okay, that takes us through our, I wouldn't call it agadic, but our lighter halachic discussions. Now we get back to Karban Pesach. We get back to how we got into this. How we get into this? So the Gemara said, if you remember the first line, right after the two dots, that Rabbi Yeshua fits in. Remember the Machlokas in the Mishnah? Rabbi Yeshua brought a raya from Yontif to Hilchos Karban Pesach. And he says, well, look on Yontif. On Yontif, you're also not allowed to violate Isurei Durabanan, even though it's a mitzvah. So too on Karban Pesach. You can't violate Yisurei D'Rabbanan, even though it's a mitzvah. So the Gemara says now, well, the Gemara could have asked it, you didn't have to say that Rabbi Yeshua's argument was based on his own shita. It could be that his argument could have fit in even to Rabbi Eliezer's shita. Amar Rav Ashi, third to last line, Ubamai dik amar Rabbi Eliezer nami yantif rishus, and even if you hold like Rabbi Eliezer, that eating on yantif is flexible, right? You have kula lashem or kula lachem, that you're able to fast if you want. Islay pircha. Rabbi Yeshua could have still asked his question on Rabbi Eliezer as follows. Umai yantif shehitir bo malacha shel rishus. Yantif, which, let's say according to you, Rabbi Eliezer, where you don't have to eat, and yet you're still allowed to cook if you want to, on Yantif, where they allowed Malacha Zochal Nefesh Daraisa, Lo Hitir Shvushi'ima, and yet there is still some Yisurei D'Rabbanan that were not allowed, if you could have done it beforehand, Shabbos, Shelo Hitir Ba'ela Malacha Shal Mitzvah, so Shabbos, which has less Heterim, right, you're not allowed to do it, except Malacha Shal Mitzvah, Eino Din Shelo Tata Shvushi'ima, so surely, it's Isurei D'Rabbanan. It should also be more limited. If Yontif has, where you're allowed to do Daraisas, has limited D'Rabbanans, so Shabbos surely, which doesn't allow certain Daraisas, surely should not allow D'Rabbanans. That's what how Rabbi Yeshua could fit in, even with Rabbi Eliezer's Svara. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Eliezer, what would Rabbi Eliezer answer back to that? Shvus de mitzvah deflay. No. The point could be, once you switch from Yontif to Karban Pesach, according to Rabbi Eliezer. Yatif is not a mitzvah, in my view, right? Because you could have Kulal Hashem. And Pesach, of course, is a mitzvah. You have to do the Karan Pesach. So maybe you would say that the Drabbanans would be mutter. Even though they wouldn't be mutter, by Yantif, they would be mutter on Karan Pesach. Fine. Period. Now we have another version of this conversation, of the machlokas between Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer. Says the Gemara Tanya, the Tosefta, Amar Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, Umali, let me compare for you the following. Umali imdachu machshire mitzvah. Remember, just keep in mind what each of them hold. Rabbi Eliezer is the one that says, Surni Surei Drabanan should be doche. Rabbi Yeshua says, why the Chatichas Yabalto and the Harkavaso and the Havaaso? Rabbi Eliezer says, those should be doche when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. Rabbi Yeshua says, no way. You could have done them beforehand. And we have the same machlokas in Mila context, which we're going to get back to as well, right? Where Rabbi Eliezer allows Machshirei Mila to be done on Shabbos, and Rabbi Shua and Rabbi Akiva say no. It's parallel Machlokas, which we're going to get back to also at the end of today's daf. So says Rabbi Eliezer, Umali imdachu Machshirei Mitzvah, Shela Achar Shchita Es HaShabbos, De Is Avid Le Mitzvah, if certain Machshirei Mitzvah after the Shchita, like what? Like cleaning out the innards, like we had yesterday, the Michui Kravav. If certain Isurei Drabanan are allowed after the Shechita, where the mitzvah is already done, lo yidchu machshirei mitzvah shelefnei Shechita as a Shabbos, so surely, before you do the mitzvah, to allow you to do the mitzvah, surely you should say the Isurei Drabanan are mutter. That's Rabbi Eliezer's argument. Right? You should allow before, if you allow it afterwards, surely you should allow it beforehand. Amalo Rabbi Akiva, no. Just the opposite. Demali, I'll say the opposite logic. Imdachu machshirei mitzvah shalacher shchita es haShabbos. Why do I allow the certain Isurei Drabanan after the shchita? Shrei dachsa shchita es haShabbos. Because shchita already paved the way. Once you did the act of shchita, then everything's mutter. It was already Shabbos was already nitche. Once you have the superpower of the Maisa Shechita that came in and pushed away Shabbos, so then it's still pushed aside for the following Isurei Drabanan. Tomar Yitchu Machshirei Mitzvah Shelefnei Shechita Es HaShabbos, Shlo Dochsa Shechita Es HaShabbos. But beforehand, nothing happened yet. Beforehand, Shechita wasn't Docha Shabbos yet. So therefore, the Isurei Drabanan do not have the power to be Docha Shabbos if you could have done them before Shabbos. So, Machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. And then the Gemara adds another argument that Rabbi Akiva has. Davar acher, shema yimotze zevach pasul, v'nimsa mechalas haShabbos l'mafreya. You know what, another reason why you can't do the Isurei Drabanan before, even though you can do it afterwards? Afterwards, you already did the Shechita. You already did the Shechita. You know it's a kosher Shechita. You have no risk. But beforehand, you're going to violate this Drabanan. You're going to cut off the wart. You're going to carry it from outside. Then you're going to come. You're going to shech the animal. Maybe you'll find this a treifa. But it's a treifa, and the people are going to have to be nimna on some other Karban Pesach before it's shechted, and it'll come out that you violated the Isurei Drabanan for nothing. So, says Rabbi Akiva, that's why I'm only going to allow Isurei Drabanan after and not before. Says the Gemara, Ihachi, so if you're saying you're worried about treifas, so Mishkanami lo nishchat, so you should never be able to shecht it at all. Shema yimatzei zevach pasol, v'nimsa mechal shabbos mafreya. What do you mean? The Shechita itself. And you know that's crazy. You know that's on you. That can't be. Right? It's against halacha. So, if you're not worried about the act of Shechita itself, so you shouldn't be worried about the Isurei Drabanan. So, Rabbi says, you're right. This second point is not such a strong argument. Elaha Amar Leberesha. First, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yeshua, said this second argument about maybe you'll find it treifa. Uparche. And Rabbi Eliezer said back to him, no, it doesn't make sense. Vahadar Amar Lehach. And then it said the first point of Demali Imdachu. Then it said the first point, which is a stronger point. Okay, that fills in a little bit more of the conversation between these two great Tanoim. Says the Mishnah, the Mishnah continues, where that Rabbi Akiva says something which we know can't really be taken literally. Rabbi, right, what do they bring in? They bring in the discussion of Hazaah, of sprinkling. Rabbi Yeshua says, and Rabbi Akiva, remember they're the same Shita, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva say, well, I'll bring you a proof. Hazaah, sprinkling, is not Doche Shabbos. Right, and that's an Issa D'Rabbanan, sprinkling the ashes of the Paraduma. And Rabbi Eliezer says, no, that's my point. You should say a Kavachomer. It should be. It should be. And then Rabbi Akiva says back, remember, look at the back of the Mishnah on Samach Vav Amid Aleph, Rabbi Akiva says back, no, I think just the opposite. If Hazza'ah, which is Isser Durabanah, is not Docha Shabbos, so maybe even Shechita shouldn't be Docha Shabbos. And we said then that he's kind of just saying that tongue-in-cheek, because he can't mean that literally, because it's a Pasuk in Chumash that says it's Mutter. And that's what Rabbi Eliezer answers back to him. He says, Akiva! Maybe he calls him Akiva without Rabbi Akiva on purpose in that part, because he's very upset. He says, you uprooted, it says what it says in the Torah, b'mo'ado, b'im b'chol, b'im b'shabbos. And we discussed then the tzlach, what was the havamina, what was the machlokas about. But either way, we're gonna fill it in here also. So, heishav Rabbi Akiva. V'abar hazah tochiyach. Rabbi Akiva says, what do you mean? Hazah will prove that I'm right. And Rabbi Akiva, as we said, mentioned that even shchita shouldn't be doche. Right? I think hazah is not doche, so shchita shouldn't be doche. And Rabbi Eliezer said back, no, I think hazah maybe should be doche. Right? That was what Rabbi Eliezer's argument was. Rabbi Eliezer says, I think hazah should be doche. Day 3 and day 7. So Tanya, Amar lo Rabbi Eliezer, Akiva, Rabbi Eliezer says, abiding, you can't believe that Rabbi Eliezer even said this. The following line. You can't even believe that he said it. Akiva, Bishchita heishavtani, Bishchita tehemi saso. Whoa. Says, with Shchita, you said a line in our halachic argument, which is totally wrong, and you suggested something going against the Torah about Shchita, I think that your end is going to be through Shchita. That's what he says to him. We know the last story of Maseches Brachos, Rabbi Akiva, what happened to him. Right? B'shchita de misaso. And if you look in the language of the Me'iri when he quotes this story on the Mishnah, Rabbi, he even has, not even talking in the third person, misaso. Right? That person. His lashon is, shchita de misascha. Even talking to him, he says, we can't say that he's cursed. I mean, it's Rabbi Eliezer. He had a certain personality. But still, it's hard to say. It's a great Tanya Rabbi Eliezer. Maybe he's just foreshadowing. He says, I don't know. It's you're playing around with halacha about shchita. It could be what comes around goes around, right? That's what he's talking about here. If you look in Rav Chaim Shmulevitz in the Sichas Musar, I mentioned this earlier in the Masechta when we spoke about Mora Halacha Befnei Rabo. Actually, Masechta Eirvin when we had a discussion of this. So there in the new volumes in the Sichas, in the new Sichas Musar, Mamar Samach Aleph, where he talks about the Mora Halacha Befnei Rabo. And he discusses the idea of the different ideas behind Mor Halacha Befnei Rabo. Is it just an Isser of Kavod Rabo? Is it other ideas? So there, the Sichas Musar discusses that there's something much deeper about the Isser of Mor Halacha Befnei Rabo, and that is relating to the Mesorah itself. And that is, it could be that in certain cases, a Rav doesn't have his rights to be Mochel on his Kavod, because it's what his position symbolizes. The Mesorah. It's not just about the personal Torah that he has given to the Talmud. And in that context, he quotes our Gemara. He says, V'yitachin od, shelo rak le'inyin mora halacha b'fnei rabo hadvarim amurim, ela af le'inyin kvod haravu moro, sheheimen hadvarim hachamurim biyoser, umora rabach kemora shamayim. The mora of our Ra has to be similar to the mora of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. U'bipsachim tnan, and he quotes our whole Gemara. And he quotes this line of Rabbi Eliezer. And we find, Shenei Rabbi Akiva, v'misa mishuna, v'lo amdilo kol zechu Yosef, v'adarim mafli v'yoser. It's amazing that what happened. We're about to see in the Gemara that Rabbi Akiva was even trying to be mechabed Rabbi Lazar by saying this. We'll see in a second. And still, there's a little shemetz of problem how Rabbi Akiva acted here. The Gemara gives off the impression. How scary it has to be for Mora Rabbi Akiva. Like he took a little bit Rabbi Eliezer to task and said, oh, come on, Shchita. He's like being Mavaza a little bit, Rabbi Eliezer. So, says Rabbi Sichas Moser, just emphasizes the covet that we have for our Rabbam. But let's see now, tell you a little more, what made Rabbi Akiva say it. Amar lo Rabbi. Rabbi Akiva answers this statement that was said to him. Al tachpireni b'shas hadin. Don't deny me b'shas hadin during our argument. What does that mean? What did Rabbi Eliezer just suggest? I think even Hazah should be Docha Shabbos. What Rabbi Akiva was trying to tell Rabbi Eliezer by saying, even Shchita, he was saying that you can't say Hazah. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva was saying, my Rebbe, Rabbi Eliezer, you taught me that Hazah is not Docha. How could you suggest that it is? That's what he really wanted to say. But he didn't want to say that his Rebbe forgot what he taught him. See, he said it in his backhanded way by saying that, oh, according to that, even Shechita shouldn't. But of course he didn't mean that. But he was just going out of his way to not embarrass his Rebbe. That's what he was doing. You taught me. So that's what he was really trying to emphasize. And Afal Pikein, Rebbe Eliezer, said this statement. Also the message of something that comes out of a Rebbe Eliezer, a Tana's mouth. Remember the Gemara in Bamitzia Nuntes, the end of the Tanur Shalachnoi Gemara. This week's Parsha, Lo Bashamayimi. The end of that Gemara about Lo Bashamayimi, and he moves the trees, and he moves the water. So the end of that Gemara, Rebbe Eliezer says Tachnun. Remember, Gamliel drops dead. Right? That, the end of that Gemara, remember his wife didn't let him say Tachnun, but it was 2 days Rosh Chodesh. She thought it was 1 day Rosh Chodesh, thought it was a 2 day, and it was 1 day. But Rebbe Eliezer said Tachnun. The power of Rebbe Eliezer, the power of the great Tana. Says the Gemara, V'chimiachar du agmarei, my tamaka haderbei. If Rebbe Eliezer had originally taught Rebbe Akiva that Hazaa, the sprinkling of the ashes of the Paraduma, is not Doche Shabbos, because we said on the Mishnah it's Tikkun, so why here was he Chozer Bo in this argument? So, Amar Ula, Rebbe Eliezer ki Agmarei, Hazaa de Truma Agmarei. When Rebbe Eliezer taught Rebbe Akiva, he was just teaching him that you could do the Hazaa of the ashes of the Paraduma only to be Matar the person to eat Truma. The truma gufe lo dach yeh Shabbos. Hazah cannot be done, just like Hafrash's truma cannot be done. That's what he was talking about. But really, Hazah for kachim would be mutter. Rabbi Akiva name, 1 second. The Gemara said no. Rabbi Akiva name ki osi avah the truma osve. Rabbi Akiva, when he asked him about it, he was asking him about truma. Shehi mitzvah, I'm sorry, this is still the statement. Shehi mitzvah vihi mishum shvus. He was asking him about truma. The hu sabar hazah the pesach amosav leh. Rabbi Eliezer misunderstood, and he thought he was asking him about the hazah of Pesach. That was the misunderstanding in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, that doesn't work. Masav Rabba, no. It's clear that Rabbi Akiva was asking him about all Hazaa. Heshav Rabbi Akiva, the Amar Hazaas Tamemeis Tochiach, Shechal Yoshvi Shalolias B'Shabbos, U'Be'erev Pesach Shehi Mitzvah, V'Hi Mishum Shvus V'Nedoch HaZashabbos. It's explicit. Rabbi Akiva was asking him about Korban Pesach. If the seventh day of a person who's Tamemeis falls out on Erev Pesach, and if you sprinkle him today, he'll be able to eat the Erev Pesach. So, in that case, you should be able to do it? You taught me not. That's what he was saying explicitly. Elavade Hazar de Pesach Agmarei. Really, they were on the same wavelength. They were talking about Hazar de Pesach. V'chimeachar de Agmarei, back to the question, my time of Kaparach Lelu Rebbe Eliezer. So why did Rebbe Eliezer change his mind? Rebbe Eliezer, Gamrei is Akerlei. He forgot. He forgot what he had taught him. Gamrei is Akerlei. V'asa Rebbe Akiva Latz Kure Gamrei. And Rabbi Akiva was trying to remind him in a nice way. Why did he say it explicitly? He thought it's inappropriate. It's inappropriate to say, Rabbi, you taught me! Don't you remember? Right, that would be embarrassing for Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Akiva went out of his way, and look what happened. Chmona Litzlan. Well, obviously, we don't think that Rabbi Eliezer caused this to happen to Rabbi Akiva. We don't think that, but it was, there's something there. There's something there in terms of Rabbi Eliezer's statement about Rabbi Akiva. Look, I saw one of the Achronim in the Berurah Hadaf suggests that the Shule Gilyone suggests that there are many places in Shas that Talmidim said to their Rebbeim, but you taught us, don't like Rav Yosef, all forgot his learning, and his Rebbe kept saying, but you taught us. What's so embarrassing about that? The answer is because in all the other cases, the Rebbe was sick. And that's what he forgot. There's an excuse that, oh, he forgot, he was sick. But here he wasn't sick at all. He just forgot. Obviously, maybe it was some reason that he forgot. So that's more embarrassing. And that's why Rabbi Akiva didn't want to say it. That's why it's different than the other times in Shas where a Rebbe forgot. Says the Gemara, V'yazol, my time, Elodach Yishabes. Why is it? Now let's get to it. Why isn't Hazah, the sprinkle of the ashes of the Paraduma, why isn't that Doche Shabbos? So you remember Rashi on the Mishnah, at the beginning of the parak said Tikkun. Mechzik misakin gavra. So for some reason, he did not say what the Gemara is going to say right here. Gemara is going to give a different reason. So why isn't it mechti tiltuli bamu? You're just moving around some blood. Not some blood. You're moving around some ashes and water. Titchi Shabbos bishum Pesach. Answers the Gemara. Gzera de Rabba. Amar Rabba. Gzera shi mitzvano v'yavirena dal rabbis bishus rabim. As is said three other times in Shas, when it comes to lulav and megillah and shofar, Gzera Shemi Avi Renu, Gzera Darabba, so to here, It said a fourth time. You see on the side, the three other places, but it said a fourth time, Zera Shemi Aviranu. We're worried that you might carry the water with the ashes in it. Rishonim talk about elsewhere, why are we worried about Gzera Shemi Avirenu Davalamas Rishas Arabim, and not worried about Gzera Shemi, you might take it from Rishas Yochet to Rishas Arabim. Why are we only worried about Dalet Amos? Maybe there's no hecker. There's a hecker if you go to the public area. But either way, the Rishonim, Rashi, and Tosfos, where this comes up in Maseches Sukkah, discuss why it's Shemi Yitzlen of Yavirena. Period. Ule Rebbe Eliezer Niavre. But 1 minute. According to Rebbe Eliezer, why are we worried about that? We're worried about Gzera Deraba. To Amar Rebbe Eliezer, Machshirei Mitzvah, Dochet Es HaShabbos. We know Rebbe Eliezer has a much more flexible view of what's Dochet HaShabbos. All preparatory stages. We're not worried. Right, Rebbe Lezer says you're allowed to do a lot of preparatory stages. Says the Gemara, wait a minute. Amri hani mili hecha de gavra gufa chazi v'rami chiyu v'yalei. When does Rebbe Lezer allow preparatory stages to be done? Where you have a person who's mechuyev in the mitzvah, and you just need to bring some things to him, do some activities. You have a baby who's chayv in mila. You have to do bris mila. So you're allowed to do all the preparatory stages. But here, aval hacha de gavra gufa l'chazi, here the person's tamei. You need to do something to put him into the parsha of the karban that even Rebbe Eliezer wouldn't allow. Lo rami chiyuv ele. For that, we wouldn't be able to do it. Rebbe Eliezer requires you to be in the parsha, right? Not mufka from the parsha, in the parsha, in order to do it. And therefore, he would aser hazaa the iser drabanan. Says the Gemara now, Amar Rabba, really? So according to this, Rabba says, let's just take this and apply it. L'divrei Rebbe Eliezer, cut and bury. If you have a healthy, robust child waiting to get bris milah, are you allowed, in the days of old, they thought they needed to wash the baby with hot water before the milah and after the milah, but before. So hopefully, usually you warmed up hot water before Shabbos. What if you forgot? Or what if something happened? So according to Rebbe Eliezer, if the baby is healthy, so then he's in the parsha of milah, and mechavin lo chamin lahavros of l'mulah b'shabbos. So then, you know, he still needs, even though he's healthy, so just to give him a little bit more protection, you can warm up the water so to get to dumila, to hachazilei. But katan cholef, you have a sick baby who would require this water in order to make it able to get the mila, ein mechavin lo chamin lahavros of l'mulah, to hachazilei. He's not in the parsha, right? What did we just say? What's the yesod? Rebbe Eliezer only allows activities to be done if the person is in the world of the mitzvah already. If he's not in the world of the mitzvah, we wouldn't allow it. So, you're really going to say that, says Rabbah? You're going to be mechalev between different babies? Amar Rava, no, you can't say that. What, v'ibarihu lama lichama lavroso? If he's so healthy, what do you need the water at all? It must be all babies are really the same. Ela amar Rava ha'kol chol enhein eitzel mila. Echad katan bar ve'echad katan chola. They're all considered sick. When you're about to have the milah. And therefore, according to Rebbe Eliezer, they're all mufka, and ein mechamin lo chamin lavroso, v'lamula b'shabbos, da'lo chazi. And Rebbe Eliezer would not allow it. Because it's all, all the babies are in the parsha of Eino Roy, and therefore, you gotta make sure to have done this before Shabbos. All the activities that Rebbe Eliezer allows, the Mishnah said, the first Mishnah in Rebbe Eliezer de Mila, right, the 19th parak of Shabbos, Rebbe Eliezer, this, that Rebbe Eliezer. He only allows activities when the baby is already rawi. You have that water, you're going to be able to do it. So, you can bring the knife, and you can cut the knife, and you can sharpen the knife, do all the other activities that are related, that have nothing to do with the baby itself. Because the baby has to be rawi in order to do it. Period. Eisvei, discussing, actually, we'll continue a little bit more, and then we'll talk about, hopefully at this time, some Chashuk Yechemed cases about the our Gemara. But first, we have to make sure we fit in the Gemara. Now, the Gemara is going to try to bring a couple of suggestions. Is this really true? That you have to be in the Parsha in order to allow the Isurim done for you. Eisvei Abaya, Arel, Shalomol, Anishkares, Devir Eliezer. We know an Arel that didn't have bris milah, and he does not get a bris milah on Erev Pesach, and he doesn't, therefore he can't bring Karan Pesach, he's an Isser Karis, because he should have gotten bris milah, and didn't get bris milah, and therefore he didn't do Karan Pesach, and therefore he gets Karis for not doing Karan Pesach. Rebbe Eliezer! But 1 second. V'ha'acha de'gavra gufa lochazi. But he's going to get Karis for not eating Karan Pesach, but he's not in the parsha of eating Karan Pesach, he's an Arel. If and he still gets kares. But what do you see from there? Rami chiyuvi alei. You see that the chiyuv could be upon him, even if he's not in the parsha. Right? He doesn't have the chiyuv of kares. He's still, he's chayev. So what is our purpose in breaking the equation? If we break the equation of you're only allowed to be do malachis if he's in the parsha, then we could say that according to Rabbi Eliezer, even Hazah should be Docha Shabbos. That's the whole purpose of what we're trying to do. We just said that even Rabbi Eliezer agrees that sprinkling the ashes of the Paraduma is not allowed on Shabbos. Why? Because Gavar Gufa Lochazi. He's out in the parsha. If we could break that equation, that's what we're going to try to do for the next 20 lines, so then we're going to be back to the original question of according to Rabbi Eliezer, Hazah should be Docha Shabbos. That's the purpose. That's what we just did. So you see it's broken because this person, this Arel, is not included. And yet he's chayiv. So Amar Rabba, it must be, no, you can't compare somebody on Erev Pesach and the context of the Mila. Amar Rabba, Kasava Rebbe Eliezer, it must be as follows. A couple of lines, and then we'll get to exactly what the Gemara is trying to say. Kasava Rebbe Eliezer, Ein Shochtin V'Zorkin Al Tamei Sheretz. It must be that if somebody is Tamei, what does Tamei Sheretz mean? One day. The Gemara could have also said, seventh day of Tamei Meis. The Gemara says, if somebody is Tamei on Erev Pesach, and we could do something today to allow him to eat the Karban Pesach, it must be, Rabbi Lezer holds, that we don't do that. Kesav Rabbi Lezer, even though if we do it today, he'll be tar tonight to be able to eat the Karban Pesach, we don't do that. Ein shochtin v'zorkan on Tamei Sheretz. We do not. We are not shochet v'zorek on a tamei sheretz or on a tamei meis on the seventh day. Number one, and the kol she'ilu b'yachin nitche b'tzibur avdi b'tuma. And the rule is that any time that an individual would be pushed to Pesach Sheni, the tzibur would do it on Pesach Rishon, even b'tuma. So there will never, if you take a step back, what the Gemara is saying now, there will never be a hazaa done on erev Pesach. Why? Because the Yachid ain't Shochtin Vizarkin, and therefore the Yachid will be pushed to Pesach Sheni, and the Tzibur will just do it Petumah. So there'll never be a Hazaa done, a sprinkling of the ashes on Erev Pesach, which means that's why this person, by Pesach Karan Pesach, is totally Mufka and not in the Parsha of Karan Pesach. The Kol Milsa de Isa B'Tzibur Isa B'Yachid, the Kol Milsa de Lesa B'Tzibur Lesa B'Yachid, and we always have a parallel between Tzibur and Yachid, and therefore, now we get to the line that we're trying to, now we get to the line that the emphasis, Areluz, the Gemara is about to say, you cannot compare, the question was on Rabbi Eliezer, you cannot compare Arel and Tameh. Areluz, when somebody's an Arel on Erev Pesach, you know why he's going to be Chayiv? Because he's in the Parsha. De'i kulei tzibur arelim ninhu. If the whole tzibur were uncircumcised, Amrina, right, what happened in the story of Yeshua, right before Pesach? Amrina lehu kuma mohula nafshayuchu will say, get up and do Mila, v'yavidi pischa. So the tzibur, we would tell them to do Karban Pesach today. So yachin nami. Amrinan le kum mahol v'avid pischa. The yachin too, we would say, go get up and do Karban Pesach. And if you don't, v'lo mahil v'avid. So then if you don't do this, ram it right, the pischa, onish kares. And if you don't do it, you're chayef kares. Meaning, when it comes to RL, you're in the parsha. The tzibur would be in the parsha, and you're in the parsha. And that's why you would be chayef kares if you don't do it for not bringing Karban Pesach. Tuma, but in the Tuma context, which was the Rabbi Eliezer context, de'ikulei tzibur tameim ninu lo madinan alayu. If the old tzibur was tamei, we wouldn't sprinkle the ashes on him, on them. Why? Ela avdi betuma. They would just do a betuma. So yachin nami patur. So the yachin also is excluded as mufka from the concept of hazah, and therefore Hazal would never be done. He's not called, if he's Tameh, he's not called a Bar Chiyuv in the Karan Pesach, and that's why Rabbi Eliezer says Hazal is not Docha Shabbos. Because Hazal is only allowed for somebody who's in the Parsha. If somebody's not in the Parsha, we wouldn't do Hazal, and that is why the what we said earlier still stands. That's why Rabbi Eliezer says Hazal is not Docha Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rafuna Breder of Yeshua Larava, Vahare Pesach Sheni, Delesi B'Tzibur V'Isa B'Yachid. You're telling me everything's equal? Tzibur and Yachid is a parallel? What about Pesach Sheni? Pesach Sheni, maybe your whole equation falls apart because Pesach Sheni exists for the Tzibur and not for the Yachid. And therefore, what? And therefore you must say that a Yachid does not bring Pesach Sheni, and therefore he should be included in Pesach Rishon. He should be in the Parsha. And therefore, Hazah should be allowed. And that's all we're trying to do. Hazah should be allowed, shouldn't be allowed. That's what we're trying to prove here. So the Gemara says, Amar le no. Shiny hasam to ha'avid le tzibura barishon. You're right, a yachid goes to Pesach Sheni, but that's only because the tzibur does it barishon. That's a very important line of the Gemara. Meaning, the tzibur and the yachid are still compared. Because Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni are connected. This is a huge topic of the ninth parak. How do we look at the two Pesachs? One Yontif, two Yontif. Is Pesach Sheni a Hashlama Tashlumin of Yontif of Pesach Rishon? But the Gemara here is saying that the parallel between Tzibur and Yachid still exists by saying Tzibur does Pesach Rishon and Yachid does Pesach Sheni. If there is a situation where the Tzibur wouldn't do Pesach Rishon, so then the Yachid would not do Pesach Sheni. For example, Rashi quotes, what's a case where you would have that? Where you have the Rove of the Tzibur are Zavin. If Rove of the Tzibur are Zavin, so then they wouldn't be allowed to do Pesach Rishon, but they also wouldn't be pushed to Pesach Sheni because only Yechidim do Pesach Sheni. So in that case, Yechidim wouldn't be able to do Pesach Sheni either. Because only time that Yachid could do Pesach Sheni is if the Tzibur did Pesach Rishon. Okay. Period. So we defended our shita. So now next time, Mesve, next try. Again, we're going to try to break the parallel, to break the assumption that Rabbi Eliezer, if he says you're mufka from the situation, you would not allow the hazah. Mesve yachol lo yehi anish kares ela shahaya tarvish lo haya b'derech rechoka. You might think you're only chayiv kares. You're only not chayiv kares if you were tahar and you weren't b'derech rechoka. Arel, I'm sorry. Lo yehei ella means you might think that these are the only cases that you're chayiv kares. Meaning, if you're totally tahar, you weren't far away, and you should have brought the karban pesach. Arel v'tamei sheretz v'shar kol atamei minayin. How do you know? Even tamei sheretz. Meaning, if you should have brought the karban pesach today, how do you know that? If you could have become tahar today, tamalomar v'ha'ish. Because it says v'ha'ish, that includes even someone who was tameh on Erev Pesach, that could have become tahar, he's also included. Next two lines are parenthetical in the Brisa. The Brisa says, mitaka mahader atameh sheretz. From the fact that a tameh sheretz is not called a tahar. After all, he could just go to the mikvah today and be a tahar. The fact that we needed extra limud to include him, kesavar, it must be Ein Shochtin V'Zarkan Al Tamei Sheretz. It must be that really, really, ultimately, we don't include him, we don't shech the Karban Pesach for him, and he'll never be able to eat the Karban Pesach if he's Tamei today. But he has to make himself Tahar, to make himself Ra'i to eat the Karban Pesach. The Ein Shochtin V'Zarkan Al Tamei Sheretz, because if he could just make himself Tahar, and we would have him in mind, that's just like a Tahar person. Somebody is Tahar, or somebody who can become Tahar today would be the same thing. The fact that we need a lima to include him means that it must be he does not eat the Karban Pesach. This is how Rashi explains it, but he has to at least be roy to eat the Karban Pesach. On that day, he'll end up going to Pesach Sheni, but at least has to be roy to eat the Karban Pesach. Either way, now we get to the point of the Brisa. Alma, but what do you see from the Brisa? That even somebody who could become tahor to his tummy right now, he might be chayev kares if he doesn't make himself right for the Karban Pesach. What do you see from there? Afa gavda lo chazi, even though he's totally not in the parsha of Karban Pesach, he's tamei, rami chiyuvi alei, he still has to do something today. The afa gavda lesa b'tzibur, he's a b'yachid, even though he's not, the tzibur wouldn't have hazaa done, the yachid has to have hazaa done. Question mark. So we're back to the original problem. Rabbi Eliezer says that Hazaa is not Doche Shabbos. Why not? We said, oh, because the Gavra is totally excluded, not in the Parsha. But here we see the Gavra is not excluded in the Parsha, and you still have to do Hazaa. So Ella Amar Rava, Kesava, Rabbi Eliezer, last suggestion, Shochtin V'Zarkin Al Tamei Sheretz V'Adin L'Tamei Meitz B'Shvi Shalo. Really, you're right. You do Hazaa on Erev Pesach. And if somebody is Tamei Mace on the last day, or Tamei Sheretz, if they become Torah tonight, we do the Karban Pesach, and he's going to eat it that night. So we're back to the question, why doesn't he allow Hazaa? V'Hazaa Lamai, why doesn't he, Rabbi Eliezer, allow sprinkling if it's Shabbos? Because after all, what do you need hazah for? La achila. Achilas psachim lo ma'akva. Wow. Let him be ra'i, and El Bayosi, he won't eat it. Achilas Pesach is not ma'akev, according to Rabbi Eliezer. Maybe not everybody holds of that. Right? We'll see the next Mishnah. Now, I've got a couple of dafim. Maybe that's Rabbi Eliezer, meaning it's a nisid rabbanah that you don't need to do. That's why he says you don't have to do it. Last line. Amalei Rav Adabar Ava L'Rava Imke Nimsa Pesach Nishchet Shalo La'ochla. What do you mean? If you have him in mind when you shchet the Pesach, isn't that a violation of Shalo La'ochla if he's not going to eat it? Says the Gemara, no. Amar Lei Shalo La'ochla L'chola U'lezakin De'lochazi. Shalo La'ochla means somebody who physically cannot eat it. That's the problem of a Machshava Shalo La'ochla. Avol Hai, this person, he's tar. He should be able to eat it. You just got to sprinkle, but you don't. But mechzachazi tikunehu de lo miskan. He's more in the parsha. That's not called shelo laochlav. Period. Okay, we'll have to stop here. Maybe we'll get to the chashuk echemed from today on tomorrow's daf. Bet Hashem, we will continue with this on daf ayin. Remember, parsha's here tonight. Parsha's here back here in Beit Shemesh tonight, 8:45.